came in. Again, our study is in Exodus. We're beginning in Exodus chapter 22. And might be moving a little rapidly today, so consider that. Review. Moses is establishing a national covenant with Israel, these 2 million plus people. And in establishing this new covenant with them, he's putting down some new laws and ordinances that they need to observe. These are from God, written by Moses. And we began those in Exodus 20 and verse 1 through 17, dealing with the Ten Commandments. And from there we concluded in that chapter, verse 33 or 23, through the 23rd chapter, verse 33. So we're in the midst of Moses, led by God, the prophet of God, telling and writing down to this nation of Israel these things that would guide them, would judge them, would want them to consider in their daily lives, whether it's how they deal with slaves, how they deal with each other, how they deal with God and worship of Him. Those things are being written down. And these things are for them to follow. Again, a new covenant with them. In the first part of this chapter, okay, in 21, and before we talked about some altar construction, how to construct an altar, some limitations there and some restrictions on that. We also talked about modesty. We talked about graven images and not to have those, not to have these graven images and the effect of those. We talked about slavery. Is this slavery regulated? Yes. Was it approved? Yes. For their time and their day. We talked about release of males and slaves after 6 years. We talked about slave families and interaction there and how that works with the master. We also talked about humane treatment of slaves. It was treated well, but also the rod was used on slaves. And that was part of what they had at that time, and all this is dealt with God. We also talked in review last time, starting these ordinances, about assaults and killings and murder and kidnapping of adults and babies, dealing with that, and the unborn. And also the responsibilities for owned and non-owned animals, which we'll see that today as we continue this. So there was a lot of things that they were given written directions for, written laws and ordinances for, that they needed to adhere to. And not casually adhere to, but to adhere to. And a couple of notes in this, that all these ordinances, all these things had really a foundation. And we talked about that last time, the two great commandments in Matthew 22, and then the Ten Commandments, and then all these, I won't say smaller ordinances, okay, detailed ordinances, all built off of those Ten Commandments one way or another. And so there's things to think about there as we look at that. And also it appears to me, too, that all of these basically in judgments back and forth between individuals or matters of death, matters of retribution, matters of compensation, had to go through the court that they had and some judgments by a higher authority. It looks to me in most cases or all cases. And, of course, those people were trained by Moses and the law of God. So as we start today in chapter 22, and we can see there basically, I'm going to go a little quicker today, but Exodus 22:1 through 22:4, we've got some thievery going on. Thou shalt not steal. But what's interesting here, and you can see it reflected even in laws today, that there was a difference in stealing something at night and stealing something in the daytime. Interesting, okay? So you have much more leeway in the nighttime for, death, okay, of the one stealing, but it was in daytime. So just an interesting thing to think about there, that there was apparently some problems going on, or anticipating problems, which is an interesting point there. And if we go on to the next item, in 22.5, we've got grazing rights. How does that work with cattle? Because, again, all these people at this time or anticipated when they get to Canaan, okay, I don't know if there's too much grazing going on now. There was some. But these fields and hands, when they actually get to Canaan, these laws and ordinances do apply. And so there was the idea of responsibility for your field, restitution being made, that affected their vineyards. Of course, they didn't have vineyards in Mount Sinai. But those sort of things would affect them again when they finally made it to the land of Canaan, that rich land flowing with milk and honey. So rules and regulations set up there. And of course, there's in 22.6, there's negligence. You can just do things that hurt your neighbor and you didn't really plan on it. There's things that you just forgot about or something happened. There's rules and laws and ordinances dealing with that. How do you pay back? What degree of payback do you make? How do you assist? So these are common things that, again, we can see in our laws today, and even common sense dictates that. Now, if we look through those in coming up in the verse, again, continuing chapter 22, again, it's talked about thievery in 22.7 and 22.8. And then sometimes when thievery was done, if we see 22.9 there, sometimes when thievery is done, you wonder who did it. Because one says this and one says that. So again, you get the courts involved. You got to have trust involved with what people say. So it's an interesting thing when you deal with those kind of testimonies and false testimonies, which we'll see a little bit of that coming up, just coming up in the next chapter. So there's things to come about. So false testimony, sure, okay. Falsities against your neighbor, against your brother, those sort of things, the ninth commandment. So all these reflect back to that one way or another to these basic commandments that God has given. Now, interesting, when we get to 22.10 through 22.13, animals. And this part here deals with dead and hurt and missing animals. Well, what about those? And there's a difference in this one. This explanation in here, because actually they're talking about an oath. Talking about an oath. And oath to God. And if you make an oath to God in this situation to resolve it about stealing or injured animals, does it not raise it to a higher elevation? Does it not make the yes, this happened, or no, that didn't happen? So the interesting there, and again, bringing Jehovah God into there. Judgments sometimes. I think sometimes about is an oath important? Does an oath raise it to a higher level? If you were to say to someone, are you coming to our gospel meeting? You're going to make all the meetings. Oh yeah, I'm going to make all the meetings. Oh, then so you give your word that you're going to make all the gospel meetings. Well, no, I didn't quite say that. So you can raise it to a higher level. So it's interesting things when they were trying to do here about disputes that need truthfulness on the part of one to another. And again, God knows everything anyway. So it's things to think about, and they had those on their mind at this time. God recognized that. And again, we're dealing one person to another. And so it's something to think about there for that through 22.13. Now, of course, 22.14 and 15 deal with borrowing. You borrow things from people, you're responsible for it. Sure, you're responsible for it. Return it in its condition. It was lent to you. Take care of it. Those sort of things. That's common reasoning, but they needed these things written down. Again, especially in this society that they're going to be in Canaan. And, of course, their day-to-day actions now. Now, when we get to 22.16 and 22.17, we have a change. Again, we mix in cattle and things. Now, we're talking about dowries here. We're talking about for a seduced virgin. What do you do with a seduced virgin? And there were some rules and regulations concerning that here and the payment of dowry and that sort of thing, which you can look into. And an interesting mix here, when you get to 22.18, a standalone verse. You should not allow a sorceress to live. Sorceress is a witch. You shall not allow them to live. And we've talked about death penalties somewhat before in the first section of this chapters of these ordinances and laws. And there's things that require death. It is that kind of infringement on the law. It's that kind of thing that God detests. That sort of thing that needs to be done. It needs to be done. Okay? So, witches. And why would a witch? Why would a witch? The death penalty. Idolatry, maybe? Another authority than God? Those sort of things God did not like. Did not want to see in his people. This reliance on anything else, especially falsehoods, false gods and other beliefs that would conjure up these sort of things that were contrary to God, anathema to God. So things that he wanted these people to be pure. And again, just a few days earlier, just, you know, a few months before, a couple of months before, they were in idolatry for, you know, centuries. So there's a lot of things to undo in their minds. A lot of things they've been exposed to. So God's trying to get them back on track. And the best way to do that is Moses write down this new covenant, this national covenant with them, and put these items in it. And it's good to have things written because you tend to forget, don't you, sometimes. But it's the sort of thing he wanted Moses to write down for these people at this time. In 22:19, bestiality and the abomination that is, which required death. And when we went to verse 20, there's putting in this idea again about idols, these things in worshiping God and serving God. Who would draw your attention away from it? Who would you rely to? I want no idols among my people. I want my people to understand that I'm the God of the Exodus. I'm the God of the creation. You rely on me and my prophet Moses. And so those sort of things would drive home the point that you have none of those things involved in your worship and your time. All right. So now it kind of switches over a little bit in 22 and 21 about strangers. And it's interesting here. We got a pointer. One of those things back to the Exodus. How important was the Exodus? And 22:21, you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Well, what's that got to do with it? What's a stranger? What aspects? What would you see in a stranger that come in your land? Well, you might see different customs. You might see different languages. You might see different religions. But remember, when you were in Egypt, you had those things that were different from the Egyptians, weren't you? Remember that. And that would dictate some sort of compassion, some sort of understanding of being a stranger in a land or a stranger visiting you. So it's a good point that about neighbors in 22:21. Don't wrong a stranger. Can you take advantage of someone with don't have the language skills or know the language? Yeah. Can you take advantage of people that have those kind of... Yeah.
Would this stranger be someone not from Israel, like the kingdom of Israel, the people of Israel? Or would this just be someone they don't know in the kingdom?
It could be visiting. This could be applied later on also, after they're in Canaan, because you're going to have a lot of commerce going on with other nations around them, that sort of thing. So it could be that. But there's always people traveling in there. Okay, so I would think the stranger would be one that they don't know. It could be, okay? But the point is, as a general statement, understand that you were a stranger once in the land of Egypt. And be kind, generous, and don't take advantage of that situation. Right? And again, a different money system. Yes, sir. Maybe. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And he's not one of the Hebrews, right? That's your point, okay? So it's an interesting point there to be aware of for these people. Now, interesting when you get to 22 through 24. And this is a thing that you would always, in Scripture, from the first to the last, in Old Testament, New Testament, always be aware of orphans and widows. Always be aware of orphans and widows. And again, understand the family structure that they had back then. It happens. It happens in war. Widows today. Orphans today in war and death. So there's things to be aware of. And you're not to take advantage of that situation either. And one point here, in 22:23, God says, I will surely hear his cry or their cry. God hears everything. God sees everything. And he did not like it when people took advantage of orphans and widows. Care for them. Care for them. And so there was a point here that he injected in these verses. And also there may be a sentence of death on that, one way or another, through providence or whatever, in 22:24. So it's an interesting thing to think about the value that God places, and the value in the New Testament also, okay, of widows and orphans. All right. And again, this is in contrast to the way they were treated when in bondage slavery. You shall not act like Egypt treated you. Whether it's killing the firstborn or whatever it is, you need to remember that, yes, you need service. Yes, you need servants and how you get them, but you still need to treat them well. And also, as we noticed too, that when your time was up, and a male slave, 6 years, that the owner was to give that male slave goods and services, the goods that he had to help him start a new life, while not being a slave. And in the connotation of slavery doesn't have that, but it was still a matter of service. So, and again, if you couldn't pay your debts from time to time, you would go into slavery, okay, or bondage, or I think I mentioned last time, indentured servant, okay? People came over to this country from Great Britain. At the start of this country, they were indentured servants who pledged voluntarily that they would work for a certain plantation or farm or people or area until that payment was recouped. So it's an interesting thing to think about that. All right. All right. Good points. Now, and again, when you get 22:25, through 22:27, have compassion for those in need. Recognize needs, and don't take advantage of it. Help them. People always need help. There's always different income levels, property ownerships, the size of your herd, whatever it is, the size of your vineyard. Other people need help. So I want you, Hebrews, I want you people under this new national covenant to think about those things as you go day to day. I want you to think about needs of those who are in need. And so, again, that can apply to us today. Surely does. Surely does. Now, and then we get 22:28 through 22:31, which closes out the chapter. Don't curse God. Don't curse the ruler. It talks about not delaying an offering. If you have offerings for your sacrifice, don't delay that. You know, when it's time, it's time. Bring it in. Harvest it on time. Bundle it the way it should be done. Deliver the proper whatever it is when it's supposed to be delivered. And don't delay. All right? Because some of these have time limits on them and that sort of thing. And Then it goes on about some, again, some things to talk about his offerings. All right? And some of these things may be a little confusing from time to time, but there's things to think about and the things that they had to do. And again, all this dealt with, all these sacrifices dealt with, remembering. They all had things to remember involved in them, whatever sacrifice it was, whatever festival it was, those sort of things. And those things would pull them back. Sometimes the Exodus, sometimes in the care of God, some sort, many times about just thanksgiving for being under the leadership of a prophet. There's all kinds of things that they were to be thankful for and to remember. And some would bring them back to build their faith. Do we remember? Do we remember the things of Christ, what he did for us? Yeah, that's to help us to remember. To remember that our salvation only rests in Christ. So an interesting thing there. Now, I'd like to go back one question. Question 14 on page 39. And it's just a matter of looking at, as a summary, of death penalties. God is severe when he chooses to be severe. God wants adherence. He wants you to have your beliefs, not superficial, but from your heart and your brain. And these sort of things are sometimes reinforced by death at this time. I think I mentioned before, they had cities of refuge where you would be tried for your crime, or a place that you could have just refuge from an avenger. But I don't read of any jails or prisons, okay, in Canaan. And so it's an interesting thing that there were judgments made. Now, but here, some judgments here were life and death. And if you look at 21:12, this was just a pre-planned death. A killing. Call it murder, which it was. Pre-planned. So God has severe punishment for that, of being death. When you have in 21:17 and 21:15, when you strike others, you may think about that. All right? The reference to death does occur in that strike, especially cursing mother and father. In 21:16, kidnapping. Well, kidnapping is not a violent crime, is it? Well, but it was. Could have been. But the point is, though, kidnapping is really also one thing punishable by death. You don't do that. You don't do that. And let's see, 22:18, which we just talked about today. You've got a female witch. Death needs to occur. Death needs to occur because my people need to be pure. They need to think about the things that of eternity. Think about the things that I provided for them. A witch can't provide the things that God provides, nowhere near. It's all false religion anyway. And, of course, bestiality in 22:19 and 22:20, sacrifices to other gods. If you sacrifice to other gods, what does that mean? You're relying on them, trusting them to get you out of a situation, to give you some sort of eternity, some sort of salvation. Well, it's all false. It's all false. Trust the God of the plagues. Trust the God of the Exodus. Trust the God that's guiding you now, day to day. Trust the God that's delivering manna to you every day. Trust the God's providing for you and giving you promises, sure promises, promises that are conditional for the future, for this people and this national covenant. Now, on this, I want to add in a couple more. 22:24 is when you harm or mistreat or wrong a widow or an orphan. That's not there. We just mentioned that also. If you do that, that's severe. That's severe, and that could bring the death penalty. And also I want to add in 21:23, that if in fact there's a fight between and a baby dies, this miscarriage occurred and the baby dies, that needs to go before the judge. Life for life. Life for life. So in that situation, there could be, okay, it should be life for life penalties. All right. Now, in the next part, Exodus 23. Continuing with these things for them to think about in this new national covenant, things they're going to agree to coming up here in chapter 24. And agree to the point that we will do all that you have written down, all that you've said. And in this chapter, Exodus 23, 1 through 9, we're going into civil matters. And again, this idea there's goodwill to others mixed in here too. So there's a lot of varied things. And so real quickly on these, if you, and all this revolves around justice, and it revolves around treating the other person correctly. Should you lie about something someone else did? Should you do things that bring them undue punishment that was not deserving? Should you do things that are right to do? Even the circumstances are prejudice without that. So the things to think about. Now, in 23:1, do not join another in their lies. If someone else is lying, you don't join with them in a case, civil matter. Why should you? Okay? Maybe see some advantage in joining with them, you just shouldn't. And continuing in that, in 23:2, majorities. If you follow the majorities, does that always serve justice? Do we go along, well, the prohibition was not to go along with majorities if they don't serve justice. Be the one who stands for justice, one who stands for truth, especially in these judgments, okay? And your judgment must be your judgment because you're responsible for yourself. So it's things to think about as they got into these, I'll just call them, a lynching situation or whatever it is. That was a classic thing with lynching, that there was no trial involved. And it's an interesting thing if you ever seen the movie Oxbow Incident, same idea. They caught someone out there and he was unjustly accused and all the back and forth, okay, of a hang him now or wait for the trial. So it's things to think about, and that's what they were trying to deal with here. Go to the judges. Go to the ones who are trained correctly by Moses. Go to those people who have this mentality in them as a judge of fairness, what is right. And that starts with a good witness, doesn't it? Okay? And in 23:3, here's a poor person. Do you show partiality to them in a judgment of some sort? Or you just stay with the facts? Just give me the facts. All right? Should you taint the facts, taint the truth? Even a poor person, you have a tendency to do that. But he's saying here, stay with the facts, okay? Because I know if you're not true to yourself, I know if you're not telling the truth or holding back truth. Now, it says partiality to the poor. If somehow an idolatry was caught in the court or something, okay? He's an idolater, he deserves, for these other crimes they committed. No, you still stay with the incident in front of you. It's kind of like when we go to a case now, just deal with the facts presented to you in this trial. Sometimes they'll hold off other things that the individual's done. If you've been to jury duty, matter of fact, I had jury duty, okay, coming up. But the point is, think about that, all right? So be just in your judgments. And that's what he's trying to instill in these, as a matter of fact, codifying and writing to them. Things to think about. Okay. And again, 23:4. You've got an enemy. Well, what should I care about an enemy's property? If his ox is lost, that's his problem. He's an enemy anyway. No, you deal with that. You deal with goodwill. And forget about your prejudice, because that's a neighbor. So you think about that with these neighbors and goodwill, okay? I guess you could do it today if someone's got a lost dog or something like that. I had a person, a truck the other day, they knocked on the front door and they had a dog. They said, is this your dog? It was loose in the neighborhood. I said, no, but that's a good thing you're doing. Okay, I don't know of anyone with a dog in the neighborhood like, you know, like that dog or any dog. I got plenty of cats. Sorry about that. All right? But dogs, but people can be concerned about animals. They can be concerned about lost things. And we shouldn't bring a prejudice into that. All right? And if they're our enemy. And even 23:5, we switch from an enemy, see, what you may think of them in 23:5, help one who hates you with a problem. Good to know again. If they hate you and you know it, well, you still need to be good. You still need to do those things. That, again, don't compromise your faith at all. But the point to be good to this neighbor, this other person created in the image of God. And so just things for them to think about in their laws that they were dealing. 23:6, don't pervert justice even for a poor Hebrew, a friend or a kinsman. I'm bringing it back now, okay? That is maybe your own brother. Even if it's family or another one of the same religion, don't pervert faith. Be true to the facts as you know them. And don't change them, all right? Especially don't lie, pervert, lie. 23:7, false charges can kill. God will remember who made the false charge. False charge can put people in prison to death. And even if they're an enemy, even if they hate you, you need to understand to stay true again. And these are basic, basic things that he's writing down for these people to review and to look at and to read. The things remind us, too, as we have interaction with this sort of cause, no false charges. And 23:8, classically bribes. What do bribes do? Do bribes serve justice? Pervert justice, can't they? Skew justice, whether to show facts or to withhold facts, to modify facts, to make up facts. Bribes are not good. Not good, and God does not want that when you're dealing with these sort of things in justice and truth. And then, of course, 23:9, be just with strangers. And where is the pointer here in 23:9? Remember Egypt, like we mentioned a while ago. Even if you got these strangers, you need to remember them and their customs, language, and religion. So we come back to that again in 23:9. Again, all this deals with justice, civil matters. Things that how we treat others. And the consequences of what we say can have a great impact on others. Make sure they're not false. Yes, sir.
Looking at the passage, I'll study this from a different light.
Sure.
Doing a word study on false.
Okay.
And okay. So I look at it from the standpoint of, you could say justice, I look at it doing what's right. You know, there's consequences for intending to do wrong or harm or evil to someone. And so I like the idea of justice from the standpoint of what your intentions are. You know, these all can be summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. But if you intend to do evil, you know, first off, you shouldn't. Remember you were training plan that you could make all the base on these things. But the idea is that intentions matter. And in all these things, false reports, you know, being malicious witness, doing evil, pervert justice, a false charge, bribery, all these are having intentions. Try to do what's right. Strive, if you hate someone, you still should try to help them. We may fall short and make a poor choice or something, but it's about intentions here specifically, and how the law views your intent. If you intend to do evil in one form or another, then you will be judged for it, and that justice will be served. But just from the standpoint of our intentions are important. What we intend to do or not intend to do, to me, this passage shows that matters.
And doesn't this section, and really all these sort of things, go back to our intentions? Once they go back to the attitudes we have, those basic things that make us who we are, and to do right. And again, all this builds on faith, okay? Not that God sees everything, okay, which he does. He's going to judge everything, yes. but it's just a better way to live. Better way to live.
And always work on the person first, and when it comes out of that, hopefully it's good. Okay?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. The very verses that you've been going over and over again is one of the main reasons that God brought the Syrians against Israel. They had become so harsh against one another, and they were doing the very things that he told them not to do. And going back to serving God, it was because they forsook God and serving him with all their heart, to serving self and other gods. So the reason that the moral decline happened in Israel, not because God's law wasn't right or true, or not because they didn't have it written down or read to them, or the prophets didn't come to them, it's because they chose to serve self instead of God.
Isn't life a choice? What motivates us for our choice? What we're exposed to, what we believe in, what we see, hopefully what's right. And again, all that goes back to our Creator, Sustainer, and the one who has the perfect wisdom and the judgment to go along with it. And we will fail. And who's there to save us? The blood of Christ. So those sort of things need to keep in mind. We still need to do the best we can and educate ourselves. All right. And these next verses deal with testing, okay? Why would you have 6 years where you have you sow your land and then the seventh year you give that land, you don't harvest off of it, you don't farm it, but you let the needy come in and take what they need from it. Why do you do that? Well, is there a trust involved? A goodness involved? Yeah, I'm just helping others. I'm not going to harvest and make the sale of my land, or use of my land for that seventh year, but to leave it bare. Let people come in and have what they want from it. And that's a trust in God, isn't it? Sort of like in the manna. Trust me, okay? Oh, no, I won't have enough grain to make me if I don't harvest any grain in the seventh year. No, God will take care of you. God said, just trust God. These are his rules. You don't hedge on them. Who knows? Their grain might have been twice the amount the year before. Who knows? But the point is, God wants that to be done. And this is something that affects them. When they get their agricultural system, I mean, that was life. And if you weren't raising animals or agriculture, I mean, you didn't go down to Kroger. It doesn't work that way. You know, no work, no eat. Okay, so you had to think about those things. So it was always on their mind. Seasons, rains, that sort of thing.
So here's,
yeah, sure. That's why. Ruth had a chance to meet Boaz, all right, during that time. So he knows down the road how things affect. All right. So, 23:12, we get back to the Sabbath day. Think about that. And 23:13 is the idea that we need to honor God in everything that we do. And there it is. Don't even mention other gods, nor let them be heard from your mouth. Heard from your mouth in a favorable way. Heard in your mouth to a devotional way. Because even Moses wrote the names down of Baal and Baal Peor, Shamash, Moloch, but he did that as a teacher, wanting to make them aware of it. So if you're warning others, I would think that'd be an exception to this. All right? But you can see the idea that when you start talking about things, they become favorable. They become accepted. Then they'll divert your attention away. Such is my thoughts on that. All right. And now, 23:14. We've got a whole section in here dealing with feasts. And the three feasts, which they're going to maintain. And again, this would be three times a year, and the males would attend these. So these feasts had different connotations to them, different remembrances with them. And that's for one to remember in 23:14 through 23:17. And a lot of it revolved around food, revolved around harvest time. It revolved around the finish of harvest time. But thank God, thanksgiving for these sort of things. And they depended on God too, didn't they, for their food? But they got the right person to depend on. They got the right God, quote unquote, to depend on. So those are things for them to think about for them. And then it throws in a couple of regulations on 23:18 and 23:19. And really, these are just some more regulations concerning sacrifices. Some clarifications, some items, that sort of thing. Matter of fact, while I'm talking about clarifications, as you go forward in the Pentateuch, you'll see some expansion, some modifications, you'll see some additions to a lot of these rules, okay, regulations. But they're all not contradictory at all, but they're all complementary. And to define issues a little more. So sometimes you look at an issue, you can reference that to the rest of the Pentateuch. All right. Now, in 23:20 through 33, 23:20 through 33, what God makes is very good. And God's going to guide them now a different way. He's going to help them a different way. He's going to protect them. And it's going to be some promises that he's going to make to them. And this is all part of this new national covenant. Okay, here's what I don't want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. We're just going through. But here's some things I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do for you in 23:20 through 33. And when you deal with that, you'll see that he's bringing an angel now. And this angel is going to guide them. This angel is going to guide them and going to be with them for the remainder of their journey. And why not? Still, God's with them, isn't he? All right? And also, this angel will do things. And we'll talk real quick about what God will do, but it's also this covenant, this conditional covenant, and there's conditional, I want to write those, if you do this. That's why a lot of ifs are involved. And so this angel will destroy anyone in your way. I'm with you. I want you to make it to this land of milk and honey. I want you to do that. Provide bread and manna and water. He's going to provide the things they need to exist. Continue that. He's going to provide no sickness of the body, and you'll live many good years. That's good. No sickness, you'll live many good years. He's going to provide no miscarriages, and no women will be childless. So births are going to be births, with no problem. He's going to, when you meet your enemies, he's going to confuse them. And the word here is hornets, okay, to drive them out before you. Maybe relates back to swarms, you know, as the fourth plague. But the point is, he's going to use those natural things to help you in these battles that he's going to win. And he says it's going to take about a year. Specific time. Remember, we talked about times and plagues, okay? That's going to take a year. And your boundaries of your land are going to be specific. He says that to them. These are promises. These are things that God has said, this is what I'll do for you. If, okay? If you obey his voice and don't be rebellious. Well, we've seen that already, haven't we? Okay? Don't be rebellious. Don't worship or serve their gods in those countries that you're going through and the ones you're going to be overtaking. Overthrow them and drive them out by force. Yep, that's what's going to happen. If you got to do that. See, there's a lot of... Just one moment. All right. And they're involved in this battle to take Canaan. You overthrow them in 24:31. You deal with these people, and once you come through them, once you tear down their sacred pillars, make no covenants with them or their gods. They will not live in your new land because of the influence of their idols. Living with idol people, idol worship people, is not what he wants. They shouldn't be around you. So we'll continue in 24:1 next time. And again, that's the new covenant. New covenant 24. Okay, thank you.